CNN falsely attacks First Lady Melania Trump during a children's book reading at a hospital. Dr. Fauci's prediction of a Thanksgiving surge falls flat. Plus, a White House administration official compiles a report titled The Immaculate Deception. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you've had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the media, in particular CNN, but the media in general, because they have just thrown all journalistic standards out the window. For the past 4 years, it's been attack, attack, attack against President Trump, conservatives, and Republicans in general. They don't care if the stories are true or not. They don't care at all, as long as they push a narrative. It's attack stories, it's fake news, and then the real news, they bury that. Stories on Hunter Biden, Eric Swalwell, they don't cover that. But any opportunity they can to attack President Trump, they do it. And it's not even limited to President Trump. His family members are fair game too. Just this week, CNN went on the attack against First Lady Melania Trump, who was reading books to kids at a hospital. And here's the story. After First Lady Melania Trump read a Christmas book to children at the Children's National Hospital, CNN falsely claimed that she broke policy by removing her mask when speaking. On Tuesday in Washington, D.C., Mrs. Trump visited a handful of children to read Oliver the Ornament Meets Marley and Joan and Abby, which was broadcast across the hospital so that children in their rooms could tune in. Mrs. Trump, who already had and recovered from the Chinese coronavirus, could be seen entering the room wearing a black mask before sitting down, more than 12 feet away from the children. Then, following the hospital's guidelines, Mrs. Trump removed her mask to read to the children. All right, so before we get to the CNN attack and how they put their story together, just want to show you a clip of the event. Here is First Lady Melania Trump entering the room and preparing to read. All right, so she's escorted in by a child, sits down, removes her mask. Then she gets ready to read. But I want to show you a little bit more because this is probably the most underreported first lady that I've ever seen. She sits there. She thanks the author who was in attendance at this event. She thanks him and then says this.
I want to say hello to all of the patients in the rooms that they are watching us. And I want to say a special hello to Colleen. I hope you're feeling well and stay strong and keep fighting. I'm sending you much love. I'm thinking of you all. Stay strong and well. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Wow, what a class act. And then here's the thing. CNN decides that the First Lady reading to children at a children's hospital isn't the story. The story is that the First Lady, Mrs. Trump, is breaking rules and breaking mask rules of the hospital and endangering the lives of children. That's the story. Just one problem. Here's more. Later, CNN's Betsy Klein ran a headline and story in which she claims that Melania Trump breaks children's hospital rules by taking her mask off to read to patients, though the hospital's guidelines make clear that public speakers are permitted to remove their mask when delivering a speech. First Lady Melania Trump broke stated mask policy at Children's National Hospital Tuesday when she removed her mask to read a holiday book to the children, CNN claims. Why make this story? Why even make it? And also, why not do some actual investigation to see if a policy that you're claiming in your headline is actually true? But that's not all. CNN's Kate Bennett, she went on Twitter to back up this story. She tweeted this. The First Lady took off her mask at a children's hospital. That's it. That's the tweet. How lame. It's just ridiculous. Just attack, attack, attack. And again, here's the story. Here's the real story. No rules were broken. The hospital even put out a statement saying no rules were broken, that she was allowed to remove her mask as a speaker. The children that were in the room were 12 feet away, over 12 feet away. adhering to all social distance guidelines, even doubled the distance that's recommended. She followed all the rules. That didn't stop them from attacking. And even after a White House follow-up and a statement by the hospital, CNN kept the headline. As I've made this story, as I made this segment, here is the story on the CNN website. Same headline, same fake news. There's just no shame anymore. And hopefully people will get tired of this and actually speak out, because this virtue signaling on masks, CNN goes on the attack on Melania Trump. Yet I showed on a previous show, ABC News' Jonathan Carl. As soon as the White House press briefing was over, he takes his mask off. People are still around, but he thinks the cameras are off and he takes his mask off. And then we've got this DOJ official showing how much he doesn't care about masks, but does care about the public perception, puts his mask on to walk about, 15 feet to the podium just to take his mask off. This is what we have in today's society. This is what our media has come to, attacking Melania Trump for following the rules just so they can make a story. So next, let's talk about the Thanksgiving coronavirus surge. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. We're making our push for 150,000 subscribers, and we can do it with your help. All right, let's talk about the coronavirus surge that was supposed to happen over Thanksgiving. Remember, there was lockdowns. There was orders not to go anywhere. Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, even suggested ratting out your neighbors, calling the cops if you thought there were too many people at your neighbor's house.
Look, this is no different than what happens if there's a party down the street and it's keeping everyone awake. What do neighbors do? They call law enforcement because it's too noisy. This is just like that. It's like a violation of a noise ordinance.
Unreal. But then Dr. Fauci and other experts were saying that Thanksgiving was going to be terrible, that the virus was going to be out of control. People traveled anyway, but Dr. Fauci was saying, don't do it, don't go anywhere, cancel everything. And here's the story. Just a few days before Thanksgiving, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warned while speaking on CBS's Face the Nation that there would be an increase weeks after Thanksgiving. Fauci also warned after Thanksgiving that there would be a significant case surge after millions traveled for the holiday, according to Politico. A significant case surge. That's what he was saying. No one traveled. Well, guess what? People did travel. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, airline travel was higher than it was in 2018. People were traveling, but things didn't exactly go as Dr. Fauci said. And here's more. However, nearly 3 weeks later, there so far appears to be no post-holiday surge in numerous cities and states. We haven't seen something significant to talk about now, Illinois Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said, according to the Chicago Tribune. We'll see for sure in this coming week. We'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe we're not going to see a big bump. So that was Thanksgiving, and Dr. Fauci is already at it again over Christmas. Here's what he's saying.
With the crisis surging, a warning and a plea from Dr. Anthony Fauci. Should people now cancel their travel plans for Christmas?
To the extent possible, don't travel, don't congregate together.
So that's Dr. Fauci, and that's our Thanksgiving surge that wasn't. He said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. People did travel, no surge. Now he's saying, basically, cancel Christmas. Don't do anything, don't go anywhere, cancel that too. It's a new normal, remember? That's what he likes to push. All right, now let's talk about an election update, what's going on. But first, we have got a great show planned for tomorrow, our Saturday live stream. It's our last Saturday live stream for 2020. We got to wrap up this year. It's been terrible. But we have a great guest. We have conservative radio talk show host and producer Larry Elder. He's the producer of Uncle Tom. It's a movie that was released, so we're going to talk about it. It is fantastic, about Black conservatives and the pressure that they face from Blacks in the Democrat Party, the media in general, and the message that we need to take to minority communities to get them away from the Democrats and the left. Larry Elder, he's absolutely awesome. Tune in tomorrow, Saturday live stream, 11 a.m. Central Time. All right, so let's give an election update, because the process continues, folks. We had the certified electors vote on Monday. We had Trump electors vote as well. There is still testimony going on. State legislatures are now looking at the cases even more. Cases of voter fraud, irregularities, you name it. Everything has happened in this election in these key battleground states. There's more audits of machines being ordered. There's more review of ballots and signatures. Georgia just ordered that in a certain area outside of Atlanta, they are going to review the ballots, the signatures on those envelopes of absentee and mail-in ballots. That's what they're going to do. Other states are calling for more audits of voting machines. We have got a lot going on. Then White House Director for Trade, a trade advisor, Peter Navarro, he put a report together. It's just awesome. You need to read it. 36 pages called The Immaculate Deception, which brings together all of these claims, all of this evidence that is going on in the battleground states. And here's the story. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro issued a blistering 36-page report Thursday in which he asserted that voter irregularities and election fraud have been found in more than sufficient quantities to swing the election to President Donald Trump. The Navarro report was titled The Immaculate Deception, Six Key Dimensions of Election Irregularities, and it assesses the fairness and integrity of the 2020 presidential election by examining six dimensions of alleged election irregularities across six key battleground states. So one thing I like about this report, again, is it brings all this information together. It brings all the different mail-in voting, election law violations, double votes, fake ballots, you name it. It goes into all of them, and it focuses on the six battleground states. That's Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And here's more of the report. The six irregularities alleged were outright voter fraud, ballot mishandling, contestable process fouls, equal protection clause violations, voting machine irregularities, significant statistical anomalies. The report then compares those six irregularities with the claims, the evidence of the voter fraud, the observations, the election law violations, and what significance it had in the particular states, and comes up with this report. Here you can see that almost every category applies to all of the battleground states. It's just unreal. Based on how those irregularities affected the massive swing of votes from Trump to Biden, the chart shows the number of illegal votes and demonstrates that this evidence needs to be thoroughly examined because it can certainly swing an election. As Newsmax reported in that story, they also go into the media. The report also addresses the media and their complete lack of coverage, their complete lack of any investigative journalism at all. And here's more. In refusing to investigate a growing number of legitimate grievances, the anti-Trump media and censoring social media are complicit in shielding the American public from the truth, the report read. This is a dangerous game that simultaneously undermines the credibility of the media and the stability of our political system and republic. Those journalists, pundits, and political leaders now participating in what has become a Biden whitewash should acknowledge the six dimensions of election irregularities and conduct the appropriate investigations to determine the truth about the 2020 election, the report continued. If this is not done before Inauguration Day, we risk putting into power an illegitimate and illegal president lacking the support of a large segment of the American people. So obviously, I'll keep you updated on all of this because you know how important I feel this is. We have to fight back. We have to address this now. If we fight back and lose, we could possibly win in the future. But if we do not fight back, we will never win again. So now we've got Dr. Fauci. We've got the Thanksgiving surge that wasn't. We've got CNN attacking the First Lady. Plenty of material to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
There's just so much relaxed brain, folks, it's hard to get to. So first I want to talk about Joe Biden, the media, Democrats. They're pushing all this unity. They're pushing for unity. They were on the attack nonstop for 4 years. Russia collusion, Russia hoax, fake news stories, on and on and on. Not saying anything about the violence all summer long, yet they think Biden won, so now we're all supposed to be unified. I showed you on the last show parts of Biden's speech in which the guy who's calling for unity was attacking President Trump and Trump supporters. Well, now guess what? His deputy chief of staff, the person he wants in that position, said to Glamour magazine. Check this out. In the interview, Jen O'Malley-Dillon fielded a question regarding whether compromise with Republicans was possible in order to get things done. O'Malley-Dillon said, "I'm not saying they're not a bunch of blank," she said, referring to Republicans, adding, "Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is terrible." Yep, so much for unity. Then there's NPR. So you remember NPR? They're the ones that said they weren't going to cover the Hunter Biden story because they don't do stories that are just distractions. They do real news, right? So now Joe Biden has announced that he wants Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, the guy who had pothole problems as mayor, he wants him as transportation secretary. Here's how NPR wrote up that story. Pete Buttigieg, President-elect Biden's pick for transportation secretary, said he has a personal love of transportation, recounting train trips on Amtrak while in college, and said he proposed to his now husband, Chasten, in an airport terminal. Yep, Mayor Pete can't fix potholes, but he likes trains and proposed in an airport. He should be transportation secretary. Well, I like cities and I've lived in apartments. That doesn't make me qualified for HUD secretary, but it qualifies for NPR to cover and be a news story, even though Hunter Biden is just a distraction. So then we've got San Francisco. I mean, you got to talk about San Francisco if we're in relaxed brain. Now, their latest story is they've got a beef with Abraham Lincoln. A San Francisco committee is recommending the removal of former President Abraham Lincoln's name from a high school due to his past treatment of Native Americans. The discussion of Lincoln centered around his treatment of First Nation peoples because that was offered first, committee chairman Jeremiah Jeffries told the Chronicle in an article published Monday. Once he met criteria in that way, we did not belabor the point. Now, we're not going to discuss and put any justification for keeping Abraham Lincoln. We just want to get rid of him. Unbelievable. All right, folks, that's our show for today. Again, tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time, for our Saturday live stream with talk show host Larry Elder. It's going to be great. But until then, please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. And we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.